From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Wednesday, January 13th. Coming up, we'll hear from a school nurse about the extra challenges she's facing during the COVID-19 pandemic. That story from Side Effects Public Media is just ahead. But first, these headlines. Today is the 50th anniversary of Speaker Michael Madigan's time in the Illinois General Assembly, but his time leading the Illinois House will likely end, as Democrats in that chamber have apparently decided to back a new speaker, Representative Chris Welch. Hannah Meisel has more.
The Hillside Democrat could become Illinois' first Black House Speaker, which makes history in its own right. But Welch succeeding Madigan, the longest-serving State House Speaker in the country, is Wednesday's biggest news. Madigan has served as Illinois House Speaker for all but 2 years since 1983, rising to power as a protege of Chicago Mayor Richard J. Daley and learning the ways of so-called Chicago machine politics. But those old-school politics also proved Madigan's downfall. Madigan was named Public Official A by federal prosecutors last summer in a sweeping investigation. Though Madigan has not been charged, a growing faction of Democrats felt the speaker was becoming political kryptonite and said they couldn't back him any longer. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Illinois received nearly 870,000 doses of vaccines. Less than half of those have been administered. That's according to the Illinois Department of Public Health, which is now reporting vaccine data on its website. State health officials also reported more than 6,600 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday and 117 additional deaths from the virus. The 7-day statewide case positivity rate is 7.5%, down from 8.5% this time last week. University of Illinois students are returning to the Urbana campus this month, and administrators are urging them to remain vigilant as the pandemic rages on. Illinois Newsroom's Lee Gaines reports on a virtual COVID-19 briefing from campus officials.
U of I Chancellor Robert Jones reminded students that they need 2 negative tests prior to the start of the semester, which begins on the 25th. He said the vaccine has provided a light at the end of the tunnel, but
the end of the tunnel is still months away, and that we have to really be more vigilant than we were perhaps in the fall.
Jones said masking, social distancing, and testing will remain necessary parts of university life. And students who violate the rules will be subject to disciplinary action. About vaccines, Jones said,
stay tuned. Continue to please check our COVID-19 vaccination page.
He said health officials don't expect the vaccine to be widely available until later on in the spring. I'm Lee Gaines, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign County authorities are promising changes after the county animal control director mistakenly euthanized a dog on Christmas Eve after the dog's owner had been told she had time to pick it up after the holidays. The incident raised a storm of angry reaction that includes the half dozen people who spoke at last night's Champaign County Board Committee of the Whole meeting. The dog was a pit bull Labrador retriever mix, and some who spoke, like Sarah Rachnowski of Champaign, claim animal control has been more likely to euthanize pit bulls and related breeds.
I don't care if it's a Rottweiler, pit bull. I don't care if it was a golden retriever. It still doesn't matter. You can't just kill a dog just because you take it into animal control. Like, are you serious right now?
County Board Justice and Social Services Chair Leah Taylor says she plans to form a task force to study animal control in Champaign County. Meanwhile, County Executive Darlene Kleppel says changes have been made to prevent future mistakes, such as adding more labeling to kennel cages to show an animal's status. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District is reporting 27 people hospitalized with COVID-19. That's the highest number of Champaign County residents reported to be in the hospital with the virus since the health department began reporting this data. CU Public Health also reported 66 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday. The department is reporting that 4% of the vaccine-eligible population in Champaign County has received an initial dose. Still to come, we hear from a school nurse on how she and her students are trying to navigate the COVID-19 pandemic. That story from Side Effects Public Media is next on 217 Today.
Healthcare has never been more important as the coronavirus pandemic continues to touch every aspect of our lives. I'm Christine Herman, health reporter for Illinois Newsroom, working to make sense of what's going on with rich storytelling and helpful analysis for listeners across the state. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The COVID-19 pandemic has been challenging for school districts as they carefully balance their students' education and safety. At the forefront of this has been school nurses, who are responsible for screening kids for COVID-19, notifying parents, and even contact tracing. And that's on top of their regular duties. An elementary school nurse in Iowa reflects in an interview with Side Effects Public Media on the extra challenges her team has faced so far this school year.
My name is Jen Barbaroski. I've been a school nurse in the Iowa City District for 10 years now, actually just completed my 10th year. This year's been different than any other by a long shot. We started preparing for this year over the summer, which is not something we typically do. The nurses were meeting almost weekly throughout the summer, trying to talk about policies, things that we were going to do differently in our practice in order to make this as safe of a year as possible. We added 3 additional nurses this year, which is fabulous. We really needed to increase our number in order to be able to provide the care that we needed to for the community by, you know, being in all the schools. It's such a changing dynamic job. Most of us have pretty good organizational skills, but this has really been a big year for it. You can't forget a name. You can't, you know, you have to make sure that you're balancing all of these pieces. You know, patience and compassion that you have to bring to each one of these situations. I love working with kids. I love working with families. Each situation is a puzzle, and it's really looking at that situation and trying to figure out what's the best way to handle it, working with the child so that you're not scaring a kid. You know, okay, you have a couple of symptoms I'm concerned about. I'm not going to use the word concerned. I'm going to change the way I speak to a kid, getting to know them, those personal relationships, you know, talking to the family. When I call a family and say, I need you to pick up your child from school, I need to be cognizant of the fact that they're at work maybe, or if I'm sending home a kid that I think might have COVID, the impact of that family could be things like, well, then the parent who has an hourly job can't go to work for the next 10 days, or they may be exposed, or it may be an elderly relative who has to come pick up the child. Just that every decision we make kind of snowballs. There's a ripple effect out there. The contact tracing is huge. That can take hours, and it's 24 hours a day. If you think about it, some of the test results won't come in until the evening. And we don't want to just say, oh, I'll wait and deal with this tomorrow, because then the kids that need to be in quarantine come to school the next day. So we need to act on things right away, which can take, you know, when you have a nice evening planned, suddenly it may be very derailed and you may be spending an evening or a weekend calling families and letting them know, you know, you can't send your kid to school tomorrow because they've been exposed. And these are things to watch out for. There's a lot of steps. People often think my kid has a runny nose and, you know, and a headache, and it's just allergies, or they're just a kid, that's normal. And it may be, but right now we have to look at that greater good. And so we come at it from that public health perspective, which has a significant impact then on individuals. If you get a call from the school nurse, really keep in mind, we are doing this out of wanting to keep everybody safe. And, you know, we are aware that it's frustrating, and we really want to make sure that everybody stays safe. It's been a crazy year. It's been an exhausting year. Those weekends where you are on the phone and sending emails and, you know, dealing with people with a very emotional issue has been really hard. But for the most part, people have been understanding. They want to know. I think people in their hearts, most people want the best for everybody, even if it causes some inconvenience to themselves.
That was Jen Barbaroski. She's a nurse at 3 elementary schools in the Iowa City School District. That segment was produced by Side Effects Public Media reporter Natalie Krebs. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says to look for partly cloudy skies today and a high of 45 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Jim Meadows, Lee Gaines, and Natalie Krebs. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.